Very interesting. Something very interesting. V'chi Yaakov, Eretz Mitzrayim. If someone can answer this question, you're Goyim. The first pasuk in the parsha, you can answer this question, you're Goyim. Or Goy. V'chi Yaakov, Eretz Mitzrayim, Shvas Reishana. Zot Rashi. Rama parsha zu stuma. Why is this parsha stuma? What does stuma mean? What, so how is it closed?
One parsha usually gap.
That means there's a gap always between parshas. There's no gap between Vayigash and Vayichi. Nothing. Frank Rashi, why is this parsha stuma? Lefi tikim shenifti Yaakov Avinu nistemu enayim b'rim sheyisrael mitzrat shibud shetchilu l'shabdam. The stuma comes. Use the word nistemu enayim there. It closed up. Their eyes closed up from the pain of the shibud. It's a ketz ravana v'nista mimenu. He wanted to tell his sons about Mashiach. He wanted to tell them when Mashiach is coming, and it became hidden from him suddenly. I have a simple question. How do you know it's two parshas? How does anybody know it's two parshas? Who says this? V'yigash v'yichi. Whoever said. Rashi says, "Oh, this is stuma."
Oh, he's saying nothing at all.
Who says it's two parshas? Why would you say it's two parshas? The question is, where does the Masorah come from? It's two parshas. All the Mefarshei Rashi talk about this. You want to see a whole thing? Look in the Mizrahi. That Mizrahi is a mutter Mizrahi. Okay? You know Rabbi El Mizrahi, the top Pirush on Rashi?
That's not mutter
about other Rabbi.
I mean, what are the Rabbi by other Mizrahi's not being mutter?
Okay, anyway.
Oh, other Mizrahi, like organization.
Okay.
My first part of my shit.
One second. Again, so in this Rashi it says it. Then, and the main point where Yaakov calls his sons together to give them brachas, pek mem tes pasuk alf again. Let me tell you what your future is going to be. Zot Rashi, again, he wanted to tell them when Mashiach will come. And the Shechina left him. He starts saying different things. He says, let me tell you what's going to be in the future. Then he starts giving him brachas. What about the future? The Shechina left. The question is simple. He wanted to tell them when Mashiach's coming. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was okay. There's nothing wrong with knowing when Mashiach's coming. Suddenly, nistalka Shechina. So Rashi says twice. He wanted to tell them when Mashiach was coming, and the Shechina left him. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to tell him when Mashiach, him to tell his sons when Mashiach is coming. Now, in Musar, there's a lot of answers to this. I'd like a nice teretz in Musar, but there's a real good answer. But you're like, what was so wrong? Twice it says in the parasha, he wanted to tell him when Mashiach would come, and you know. Now, if you think about it, I mean, there's a simple answer in Musar, but I want that, you know. If we know when Mashiach is coming, today, right? We probably do tshuva a day before. We probably be in McDonald's today. You know, like a day before, I know Mashiach's coming. A day before Mashiach comes, I'll,
You don't know where you're
what?
You don't know where you're before Mashiach.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, true.
That's the case, then what changed from before? Why is he originally going to be?
I know, that's the question, right. That's the question. He was originally Ghana. If he was originally Ghana, it means Hashem allowed him. So what suddenly changed? Okay. Let's do some parsha. The bracha to Yehuda. Did everyone get a piece of cake? There's someone who didn't get a piece of cake who wants a piece of cake.
I think everyone's
did you get Yaki Yosef?
I have.
What if you want double?
What? You want double? You have to ask Shlomo permission. It's his cake.
Yeah.
Shlomo, may your future be as white as this is dark. That somehow doesn't work. What? Somehow doesn't work. What? Okay. So Yehuda's bracha. Kakrili enayim yayin, your eyes are red from wine. Uleven shnayim achalav, and your teeth are white from milk. Pashas Yehuda had good milk, good wine. His eyes were white, his eyes were red. It was great. The Gemara says, uleven shnayim achalav. The Gemara says, "Gadol hamal b'mshinayim." The Gemara says that the biggest chesed you could do for a person, the best you could do for a person, is do chesed with a smile. Always do with a smile. Uleven shinayim, someone who's you're doing chesed for should see the white of your teeth. Now, according to the Gemara, white of the teeth. Is that? Look at that smile. You see? That's a smile. That's a smile. Yeah. The why your teeth? That's a real smile. You know, it was a Gemara in Kedushin that says there were two brothers, and they had an old father. One served the father roast chicken and wine and stuffing and cranberry sauce. But and one said to his father, "You know, I know you're old, but we have to live. We have to go work." And the Gemara says that the second one got more scar. The first one said to Father, "Here's your turkey, here's your cranberry sauce." And the other one said, "You know, we have to go work." And he smiled. He gets a much more scar because he smiled. Doing.
There he is.
Show the good smile.
Isn't that also like
the shirt design is also the
same thing?
Really?
How you react with it, no?
Okay. Maybe. Maybe. Okay. Anyway, but you do something, you want to do chesed. Chesed, okay, I'll do some chesed. That's not chesed. Chesed is with a smile. You know, like, it sounds so trite, chesed with a smile. But it's a pasuk. It's mamash a pasuk. Leven shenayim achalav, v'laven shenayim. You don't do chesed without a smile. Chesed without a smile is not chesed. You don't want the person feeling, I'm doing you a favor. You know, like. And that's what, when you enjoy chesed, it's not hard to smile. So mafarshim go a step further. And they say, when it's not hard to smile, that's not really chesed. For example, I always say, you're always taught, Hachnasas Orchim, have guests for Shabbos. Have guests for Shabbos. So I tell my wife, let's do Hachnasas Orchim, let's have guests for Shabbos. And she says, who do you want to invite? So I say, I want to invite my friends, because you always have a good time with them. And my friends come, and we chomped, and we red wine eyes, and you know, and you were having a good time, and then they left, and my wife said, "You have a good time?" I said, "Yeah, but I don't think we did Hachnas Zorchim. I don't think, I had a good time. I just gave myself a good time. I didn't do Hachnas Zorchim. Hachnas Arachim is for someone who really needs it. Like we talked about the loser yesterday. The guy tried to suicide the electrician. You get the loser, Hachnas Arachim. That is real Hachnas Arachim. When it's almost disgusting to have it in your house and you smile. That's Hachnas Arachim. You know, there's Rabbi Kirschenbaum downstairs. Any of you ever meet Rabbi Kirschenbaum? There was a Rabbi Kirschenbaum's wife, the one who died, had she had exquisite taste, and she had a beautiful house. Her house was like a museum. You walk in there, you were afraid to touch anything. It was like a museum. And there was someone called Mendel the Coat Rack. Most of you guys never heard of Mendel the Coat Rack, but there was an old Jew in Flatbush who used to walk around in the middle of summer with 100 coats on him. He was always cold, so he was called Mendel the Coat Rack. Now, Mendel the Coat Rack, I don't know if he was homeless, but no one knows ever where he lived. He would walk around the streets. In the summer, I'd see him walking in the Catskill Mountains on a road. I don't know how he did it. But Mendel the Coat Rack was always walking around, and Mendel the Coat Rack smelled like anything. Mendel the Coat Rack used to stop at the corner. You stop at the corner, he'd come and knock at your car. And he'd say, can I have a ride to Avenue N? And you'd say, sure, come around the side. And then he's going outside, you'd fly away. No one wanted Mendel the Coat Rack in their car. It really smelled. It was very bad. And he used to go on Rabbi Kirschenbaum's block. He used to knock on Rabbi Kirschenbaum's door, ring the bell. Tonight, please use the bathroom. Rabbi Kirschenbaum let Mendel the Coat Rack use his bathroom. No one would do that. And Rabbi Kirschenbaum's wife, when she rested in peace, used to yell at him, like, Mendel the Coat Rack in my bathroom? Because she said, yeah, you needed to go to the bathroom. But like, not many people could do that, have Mendel the Coat Rack in their bathroom. That's real, 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 motherfucker, with a smile, okay? Don't tell him I tell you this story. He doesn't like people, when people find out about these type of things. But that's what you gotta do. That's Arachim. I always say, it was about 6-7 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago, it was a snowy Sunday afternoon, and there's a knocking on my door, and I go to the door, and there's this Jew from Israel, full of snow, he was like a snowman, his beard was full of snow. Can I come in? Yes, please come in. And he sat down, and I gave him a glass of hot tea. And what else do you need? You want to use my bathroom? You know, I'm not too excited. He didn't smell. Especially after he got snowed on. It was okay. But and then he looks and he says to me, is everyone in this neighborhood invited to a wedding, and you're the only one that's not invited to the wedding? So I said, what do you mean? So he says, well, I've been walking around this neighborhood for 2 hours. No one, there's no answers to any doors. And in your door, you came and answer. Are you the only one this neighbor is not invited to the wedding? So I thought for a minute and I said to him, no, but it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's Super Bowl Sunday. You know, and he says to me, Mazeh Super Bowl? I went, Zeh Super Bowl. You know, like him a frozen Super Bowl. Like letting somebody in during the height of Super Bowl or Super Bowl Sunday, that is Hachnas Arachim, okay? That's love and revenge shnayim mechalav. You do Hachnas Arachim, but remember Hachnas Arachim is for the person who needs it the most, okay? Super Bowl Sunday, can you believe it? We're chutzpah to go around on Super Bowl Sunday. Oh, it was killing me, but I did it anyway. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yisachar Chamor Goram. For some reason, this always comes out vacation time. So I like, you usually tell before vacation, but this is way before vacation. But you know, I like to say it. Yisachar is compared to a donkey. Rovitz ben Mishvasayim, V'yar Menucha Ki Tov, V'as'art Ki Na'ema. Ooh, Chananya, Rabbi Yerucham has a meiridik avort on V'yar Menucha Ki Tov, V'es Oret Kineima, V'yet Shichmu Lisbol. Rabbi Yochum has a stira here. It says that he learned there was menucha, and he gave his shoulder to suffer. What do you mean? If you're learning, what do you mean you're suffering? How does it go together? Rabbi Yochum has something on it. You find it, show it to me. I'd like you to remember what he says. Okay? But Yisrael is compared to a donkey. Why is Yisrael compared to a donkey? Now, I'm not saying, you know, but to me, the question is, why not compare him to a horse? Why to a donkey? The Teretz says Yisrael is the shevet of B'nai Torah. The shevet of B'nai Torah. A Ben Torah, when he relaxes, when he rests, is like a donkey. A horse, you ride a horse all day, you take him, you take off his saddle, you cool him down a little bit, then you say, go frolic in the field. A donkey comes in to the thing, you don't even take off his pack, he just sits down with his pack on him. Yisachar chamar garam. Yisachar is the donkey with a pack on him. That means a ben Torah, there's no such thing as taking off everything or frolicking in the field. You know, before vacation, the guys like, where are you going? I'm going to Florida for you know, vacation. Oh, please remember to take your tefillin. Please remember to take your yarmulke. But it's any vacation. It's going home for Shabbos. It's anything. Man, do I hate it when guys go for Shabbos and Monday morning I still see their tefillin on the table. Oh, I mean, I'm not sure they didn't put on tefillin, but how can you not put on your own tefillin? You know, how can you not put on your own tefillin? It's crazy not putting on your own tefillin. But you have to be a chamar gorim. You go on vacation, you have to schlep your svarim with you. Not, I'll leave my svarim here and I'll go frolic in the field. I'll go frolic on the ski run, or I'll go wherever I am. No, you're going, you'll frolic, but you'll have your yarmulke on, and you have your tzitzis out, and you go to minyan three times a day, and you'll have your svarim, and you'll have your, you know, it's not at all a bizayin to go on vacation and take a little gemara and a kovitz. It's not embarrassing, okay? It's not, you're not a frumi if you do it. Now, if you stay in the hotel and learn for 10 hours a day, and you don't go have a good time, that's not good either. The chamar does rest. You need to relax. But you have to relax as a ben Torah. That's your sacha chamar gorim. Relax as a ben Torah. Memchas nuntes. It's a very interesting pasuk, and I will tell you, even though there's a lot of Rashi on this, I think what Rashi doesn't say, but I don't even have it. Just 1 second. Yaakov asks Yosef, please bury me in Eretz Yisrael. Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Lamed, is it? Pasuk Lamed Aleph? Nope. Okay, I can't find the Rashi now. I wrote Mem Ches Chav Tes. Is it possible? Is there such a thing?
No.
Vitzav Osam V'yom Aleim Ani Nesav Armi Kivrosi Aravosai Alamara Shev Se Ephron. Yaakov said, "Bury me in the Mar San Feila." Chav Tes. I don't know. I saw it. There's many reasons why Yaakov wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He buried in Eretz Yisrael. He was afraid that the kingdom would bother him if he's buried in Egypt. He's afraid that that if you're buried in Chutz Aretz, things happen to you. Chibut HaKever, it's called, not in Eretz Yisrael. But the Yishalmi in Shkalim says something very interesting. It says, Mesei Eretz Yisrael Kamim Tchila, that the Mesim in Eretz Yisrael get up first in Tchias HaMesim. So Yaakov wanted to be buried in Israel because the Mesim get up first for Tchias HaMesim in Israel.
Is there something about them rolling?
What?
Is there something about people rolling?
Yeah, that's called Chibud Kever.
Yeah. Isn't that not happening if you're in...
As I said, that's one of the reasons what Rashi says why he... But this is the Yishalmi. You want to get up first. The question is, why would you want to get up first?
Yeah.
Why is it better to get blessed?
You didn't get
any longer. Why do you want to get up first?
Is not the end goal.
Very good. What's the end goal? The end goal is serving Hashem. That's the end goal. That was the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, when he was going to die, he's crying. He says, why are you crying? You go to Gan Eden. He says, but you can't put a pair of tzitzis in Gan Eden. You can't do... For nickel here, I have to get tzitzis. I can't do it in Gan Eden. Avodas Hashem is the Iker. Avodas Hashem is the Iker. Therefore, Yaakov said, I want to be... Mesei Yisrael, get up first. I want to become alive first because I want to start doing mitzvahs again. I want to have bechira. I want to have a hard time. I want to do that. Don't ever think, Gan Eden, I'm get Gan Eden. And you're like, no, you're here not for Gan Eden. You're here to do Avodas Hashem. Gan Eden is something that you might again, whatever happens. That's not your job. Your job is not to make Gan Eden. Your job is to do Avodas Hashem. That's what we learned from Yaakov. Everyone have a great Shabbos.
Everyone, this Sunday we're doing a Chazara for the task.